Our Father in heaven, we thank you that Jesus is alive. We thank you for the message that the skit has brought forth, that the dead body is no longer in the tomb, because you are alive, and because you have given us life and hope in you. And we pray, Lord, as we commit the rest of the time into your hands, pray that you will allow us to hear from you and understand what you have to say to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm Charlotte. Whoops. Oh, Stan is at the back. Okay, so my name is Charlotte, and once again, welcome to 11:30's Easter service. Before we continue on, can we just put our hands together to thank you, the drama team, for their awesome work. They have only rehearsed for 2 times. And so it's pretty good. It's really, pretty good. So you want to acknowledge them, and also the director and the scriptwriter as well. So I'm not sure if, just in case you weren't aware of what today's date is, 1st of April, which means it is April Fool's Day. Yes, yes. So I wonder if any of you got pranked in the morning just before you came to church. But don't worry, if you actually got pranked, it just means that you have wonderful friends who are fun. But fret not, we are not going to pull any prank on you in the service today. Speaking of which, I actually have a story to share. So in 2013, Google came out with this thing called the Google Nose. And their tagline is smelling is believing. So what they say is that as you choose different selection of smells, then they will change chemicals into signals, and then they will transmit to your screen, which you can smell from your laptop screen or your phone screen, the exact smell. So, you know, being a physics student at that time, I thought, well, how would it be possible? I don't think it's possible to transmit chemicals into screen. Then after I watched their introductory video for Google Nose, I thought, I actually bought into it. I thought, okay, why not? Maybe it's a new technology. I will give it a try. So I clicked on this smell called the campfire. And then I kept clicking on smell, and then it starts transmitting scent, 75% complete, and then 100% complete. Then I'm like, oh, exciting, exciting. Okay, so then I lean forward to my screen, and I... ain't nothing. How come, Maybe it wasn't loaded properly. So then I click again, try again, and then I lean forward and I smell. Still nothing. And then it dawned upon me that it's 1st of April. It means that it's April Fool's Day, but I cannot believe that Google would actually prank us like that. Aren't they like a professional company? So apparently Google has been doing this April Fool thing, prank, for many, many years. I think since the 2000. And their tagline being, smelling is believing. So I thought I really believed, but the phrase that we are more familiar with is seeing is believing. Have you heard of that before? Yeah? It means that when you see it, then you will believe it. But apparently for some people, seeing is not always believing. Like in the case of Mary Magdalene, which is in the passage that we're going to read now. Let me read for us today. John chapter 20, verse 14 to 16. At this, she, Mary Magdalene, turned around and saw Jesus standing there. But she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned around, turned toward him, and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. This is the word of the Lord. As you can see, in this passage right here, Mary turned around and she saw Jesus standing there. Obviously, she saw with her very own eyes, Jesus standing right in front of her and speaking to her. But yet, still she didn't realize that it was Jesus. She couldn't bring herself to believe it. In this case for Mary, seeing is not believing. Mary Magdalene, a lady who was once possessed by 7 demons. Don't be mistaken, she's not Jesus' mother. She's just a lady whom Jesus had casted out 7 demons from and saved her. And ever since then, she had been one of Jesus' most faithful followers. She was there when he died on the cross when all his disciples left him. She was there when they buried Jesus' dead body in the tomb. She was there early in the morning on the 3rd day, waiting to embalm Jesus' dead body with spices. She was there day in and day out following Jesus, and she knew how Jesus looked like. She knew Jesus personally. But yet, when Jesus stood right in front of her, she saw, but she didn't realize. She saw, yet she couldn't believe. Was she crying too much that tears had somehow blurred her eyes? Why couldn't she realize and believe? Was she just stuck in her own framework of understanding, thinking that a dead man couldn't be alive, duh? Or was she stuck, feeling so lost that now that Jesus is dead, I don't know where to go, I don't know who to turn to? Was she so stuck in her own despair that when hope stood right in front of her, yet she saw and she couldn't believe? Today, maybe some of us here are feeling stuck in certain ways. Maybe we feel stuck in some relational issues. Maybe it's relationship with our co-workers, with our family, or with even in our marriage. Or maybe it is we feel stuck in life, feeling lost and directionless, don't know where our future leads us to. Or maybe we feel stuck in some health problem, feeling hopeless with our own bodies. But are we so stuck in our despair today that our eyes are blinded, that even if hope is to stand right in front of us, we still couldn't recognize and couldn't believe? And then Jesus asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Jesus' first words were not words of judgment, but words of comfort. Jesus was addressing Mary's pain. He was speaking words of comfort to her. "Why are you crying? What is it that's making you upset? What is bothering you?" And then he asked, "Who are you looking for?" This is a leading question, obviously. Obviously, in right now, Mary is looking for Jesus. But at this point of time, Mary is not exactly looking for Jesus. She was looking for Jesus' dead body, which is not there anymore, which is no longer there. That's why she couldn't find it. Why? Because Jesus is already alive. His dead body is not there anymore. But there is a living person standing right in front of her, calling her by her name, yet she couldn't recognize him. Who is it that you are looking for? How about for us? When we are stuck in our own despair, who do we look for? Do we look for what is dead, or do we look for what is alive? Do we look for the right person who can truly give us hope? I remember a few years ago, as I was pursuing my physics degree. So I chose physics because apparently some people think that women cannot do well in physics. So I want to prove them wrong. And after getting into physics, I actually felt quite stuck. I felt I wasn't sure if this is what I want to do for the rest of my life. So I remember waking up every morning in a new semester, thinking, should I change my course? Should I change my degree? And this go on all the way throughout my whole degree until, you know, I prayed about it and then I decided that I think I should persevere through and finish what I started. But being around people, classmates who actually knew what they want didn't really help that much. So some of my classmates, after they graduated, they went and be a physics teacher. And most of them went on to do their master's and PhD in physics or engineering. While me, I was just there, huh, what do I want to do with my life? So I remember this exact lost confusion and despair feeling that I felt in my heart. I felt like I have wasted my years doing what I didn't really enjoy that much, and now I don't know where to go. So in my despair, of course, I choose to pray, choose to seek God, and talk to some godly people around me. And then one day it dawned upon me that my own passion and my talents are given by God as well. You know, and I thought to myself that He had made me, of course He knows what's best for me. I just have to believe that He's got my back. And after a long time of praying and talking to the right people, some godly advice around me, and later on, as God opened the door, I just decided to take a step of faith into it and to believe that God, He has got my back. And that is exactly how I ended up in this sweet spot right here, doing exactly what I enjoy most. And if you feel lost today at where you are right now, if you feel despair or not sure of where your future leads you to, seek God and believe that He's got your back. Sometimes opportunities might not come immediately, but we just got to trust and believe that, you know, He's the one who had made you. He knows exactly where He's leading you to. Just keep seeking Him. Don't look for meaning or answers in the wrong places, but look for hope in the right person. And then, Mary Magdalene, thinking that He was the gardener, thinking that Jesus was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried Him away, tell me where you have put Him, and I will get Him." She said, "I will get Him." Well, Mary was still quite stuck in believing that Jesus was dead, isn't she? And she still believed that, you know, I want to rely on my own effort and my own energy to go and get Jesus' dead body back. Where have you put Him? Where is it now? But no, Mary, no, the dead body is not there anymore. He's right here, standing right in front of you. Can you just see Him? Can you just realize and believe that He's really alive? Sometimes in life, we are like Mary. A lot of times when we feel stuck at where we are, we thought to ourselves that, you know, now we have to pick ourselves out. We have to find solution out of this. We have to know where our life is leading towards. We have to cry lesser. We have to be stronger. We have to. But sometimes it is really not up to us to save ourselves. Sometimes it is simply up to God. When we are drowning, all we need is a Savior. And salvation does not lie on our good behavior. Salvation does not lie on our own effort. It does not lie on our righteousness or our abilities, our talents, or how successful we are, how popular we are. In fact, the famous preacher in the 19th century, Charles Spurgeon, said this: "The first link between my soul and Christ is not my goodness, but my badness. It's not my merit, but my misery. It's not my riches, but my need." What links us to Christ is exactly our misery, our troubled souls, and our despair. And the good news today is that the person who can bring us out of this despair into hope is risen. Jesus is risen, and He is here to give us hope. And Jesus, after He died on the cross, the point of Him dying is just so that He can save us. He died so that He can give us life. And He died so that our history can be transformed into His story that is full of hope and full of life. This is the wonderful, wonderful free gift that we can receive from Him. It is indeed a free gift for us, but it doesn't come cheap. It cost Him His life. And finally, Jesus said to her, Mary. Immediately when Jesus calls her by her name, she recognized Him. She recognized His voice. She turned around toward Him and cried out in Aramaic, Rabboni, which means teacher. It must be a mix of, you know, shock, amazement, and disbelief, and heart pumping really fast. Teacher, well, I cannot believe that. I thought He was dead. She saw Him breathe His last on the cross. She saw His dead body being laid in the tomb. And she's looking for His dead body, but what she found is more real than she could ever imagine. Is a live person standing right in front of her, calling her by her name, Mary. Jesus is alive. And He is alive today, and He is calling you by your name. Can you recognize Him? Would you want to receive this hope and this salvation that He's offering to you? He is alive, and His Holy Spirit is with us today, ready to lead us from despair into hope, from addiction into freedom, from condemnation into salvation, from death into fullness of life. And Jesus is alive. He's here today, and as He calls us by our name, can we recognize His voice? Will we respond to Him? Let us pray. If you feel that God is speaking to you in your heart, as I pray this prayer, pray along with me in your heart. Come, Holy Spirit. Our Father in heaven, You are a God who created us. Yet You love us. You love us so much that You couldn't bear seeing us living in our own broken ways. That You sent Your Son, Jesus Christ, to die for our sins. You raised Him from the dead, giving us hope. Hope in our relationship, hope in our future, hope in our family, hope in our lives. Lord, please forgive us for the times that we have sinned against You and against others. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins. We thank You for Your greatest gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. Would You please come? Come into our lives. Come into our despair. Come into our brokenness. Minister to us and help us to recognize. Help us to believe. Thank You, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you have made that prayer in your heart, and if it's the first time, or if you would like to speak to somebody after that, or to pray with someone, after the service, the prayer team will be up front here. Feel free to come and speak to them.